Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy.
Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. As we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight, the number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And yeah, there's plenty of NFL stuff to get to, and we'll do that certainly coming up in the 11 o'clock hour tonight. I mean, between the Myles Garrett stuff, Colin Kaepernick, and it's going to be a weekend full of NFL talk. But with all that being said, I'm the basketball guy here, right? And the Celtics are 9-1. The Celtics are the team with the best record in the NBA, and they're doing it in a variety of ways and for a variety of reasons. And I feel like because everything is happening in the NFL that, you know, is deservingly so getting the headlines, getting the news, and getting the attention of most of the programming here, I understand why. I really do. Between what you can manufacture around Colin Kaepernick, the story of the day, of course, the Myles Garrett situation from Thursday Night Football, and of course the Patriots, you know, losing their first game 2 weeks ago. How are they going to get back at it over the weekend against the Eagles? I mean, there's plenty of NFL stuff to get to, but it's been covered, it's been done. And I feel like under the radar, the Celtics have flown. And in a team that, let's face it, last year, with all the negative coverage, everybody hopped on it, and everybody wanted to have their say. Everybody had an opinion of why the Celtics were not the team that they were supposed to be. And meanwhile, this year, you have the complete 180, and I feel like in a small way, at least here at WEEI and probably on the other station, because of the headlines that the NFL continues to make, the Celtics have gone under the radar, but yet somehow, some way, we're 10 games into the NBA schedule. The Celtics have the best record in the league. They've won 9 consecutive games as they head out west for a 5-game West Coast road trip. So I wanted to get started here tonight talking about the NBA, talking about the Celtics before they tip off in about 20 minutes in Golden State. And I figured the guy to have that conversation with was the guy that's seen more craziness around the NBA. He's seen more good, more bad. He's seen just a little bit of everything, including other terrific starts. It's Bob Ryan. Bob Ryan, you guys know him from the Globe, from ESPN. And now Bob is the star of the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast. So I really appreciate you staying up late with me here tonight, Bob, and sort of putting me in check here, because my Celtics, I don't know, green teamer in me is getting a little overboard here with this 9-1 start.
I don't get too carried away, but it's very encouraging, and it's surprising 9-1. I don't think anyone thought 9-1, particularly because of the 4-1 record on the road. But it's really been encouraging, and it's such a refreshing departure from last year. At the end of the 17-18 season, I really believe there was that was a team that was endearing, beloved. I live in a hockey town, and there was more basketball talk in the spring of 2018 than there had been certainly since the last championship year, and maybe even more since the Bird era. People loved the team, and then last year was such a major disappointment. Even though they went 49, it was very distasteful. The thing didn't end well at all. Okay, so now here they are, and they're 9-1. And the larger question, it's still perceived to be football season, and the Patriots are the Patriots. It's not like it was 30 years ago or 40 years ago. I covered a Celtic team that got off to a 10-0 start in 1972-73, en route to 68 wins. And, you know, the Patriots weren't the Patriots then, but the Patriots are the story now in the town. We know that. So I don't have any problem with that. They're going to get their due in due time, and maybe they're pleased not to be scrutinized as much right now, and they'll wait until the game's, you know, a little later on for that.
And Bob, one of the things that when you look at the Celtics over the last 4 or 5 years, they have had a bit of an embarrassment of riches at the point guard position. And I bring this up because Isaiah Thomas, IT, he was just in town a couple of nights ago, had 18 points, clearly not the same guy he used to be, but I'm glad to see him as a productive player in the NBA again. But when you look at what they've had, Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving, and now Kemba Walker, all three uniquely different players, all three bring different sort of characteristics to the game, different strengths and weaknesses to the game. But again, as a guy that's been around the league for 50 years, if you're starting a team tomorrow, how do you rank those guys? Who are you taking first, second, and third?
Well, technically, Irving is an incredibly talented player. He's one of the most talented guys at his size that I've ever seen. He finishes at the rim as well as anybody his size that you can name. Thomas was remarkable. You don't want to underscore what he did here, but it was a liability at the other end for sure. But he was certainly lovable. But the big difference, Walker's reliable, and it's not on the court where it matters with most. And he's just replacing, to a large degree, the statistics that Irving brought without the baggage, without the complicated personality. I do not believe that Kyrie Irving is a bad human being. I do think he's a very complicated human being. I think he's a misguided human being. I think he's a person eternally in search of something, and I'm not sure he knows what it is. But I went to the Dallas game the other night, made my season debut in person, and spoke to a number of people, and it was a universal opinion that the locker room is just so immeasurably a more pleasant and happy a workplace than it was last year. And the reason is simple: they substituted Walker for Irving. It is just that simple.
So when you look at it, right? I mean, you've got the Celtics here at 9-1, and Brooklyn Nets at 4-7. They were a playoff team last year, much like the Celtics from the year before, a young upstart team with young talent trending in the right direction. And it seems like through at least their first, 11 games, Irving has sort of held them back a little bit despite him putting up career numbers. So if you're an NBA general manager and you go and you acquire this guy, and Bob, you just sort of extolled how great he is of a player, how do you maximize his talent and keep your team sort of on that winning track? Is that possible?
That's a task. Brad Stevens couldn't do it, and he'll admit it. And he fell on his sword when the season was over. But I knew before the season was going to be a challenging year, just working Irving and Hayward into what was a very happy mix. And we all know how Hayward struggled in the beginning, particularly. All right. Anyway, but Irving. I'm not going to blame it all on Irving. Caris LeVert is hurt now. He might be out for quite a while. It isn't just all about Irving. It wasn't just all about Irving last year, despite what I just said. But, you have to – some of the responsibility goes for the players who maybe overreacted to the negativity, particularly Jason Tatum. I'm going to put the finger on him. But I'm not going to. I don't. You know what? I haven't watched the Nets enough. I'm not going to demonize Irving and say he's the only reason why they're not doing as well as people thought they were going to do. Particularly when I know they've had a couple of injuries.
All right. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Late Night. It's Patrick Gilroy joining us on the line right now from the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast, available on CLNS Media and of course on iTunes. It's Bob Ryan and Bob Larry Bird. He was on the station a couple of days ago, part of the Christian Fourier 25 for 25 event. And whenever Larry's on, I stop everything that I'm doing, and I listen to him because he tells incredible stories, and he's got intelligent things to say about this game still. And one of the questions that was asked of him by Christian was about the three-point line that we've got now in the NBA and the fact that even centers continue to stretch out. Aaron Baines, having a career year with Phoenix, seems unstoppable out there because everybody is hitting threes. So the question came up about a potential four-point line. And Larry, point blank, he doesn't like it, Bob, but he said that he feels like the four-point line someday is inevitable, and he feels like it's something that Adam Silver will do at some point here.
He's a realist.
Do you believe him?
Do I believe him? What?
The four-point, I just have a hard time imagining it.
I'm afraid that there is a sentiment. I certainly expect to see it happen, and I don't want to see it because I think the game has been besmirched enough by this hideous three to start with. It is such a different game than it once was. It's such a less appealing game than it once was because of this mania, this insanity about the three. The other night, the Timberwolves went 6 for 45. Congratulations. A couple of those dreaded long twos might have helped. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it's just insanity. I'm sorry, and I know younger folks think I'm out of my mind because they have never seen a game without it. The thing is now in its 40th year in the NBA, but I'm telling you, it is a hideous thing. But anyway. Larry's a real pragmatist. He looks at the game. He sees the trend. I know he mentioned, you know, they moved the shot line back and it's had some effect. But, I wouldn't be shocked to see it. I think it would be a disaster. But I'm a realist in this regard. I see I read the tea leaves, and that seems to be where we're heading someday.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel like, you know, as an NBA guy, Bob, I feel like, you know, I enjoy the 4-point line as part of the big three, but that the big three, the way that they work in the summer, it's a traveling circus for a reason. No home city has a home team. They make 12 stops throughout the summer. They literally took on the business practices of a traveling circus. And I feel like the 4-point line, that's good as part of a traveling circus, not part of an 82-game NBA schedule.
Well, I haven't ever seen a 3-on-3 in that league, so I'll take your word for it. But no, seriously, I haven't. I've gotten to the point a long time ago, where anything that once the season's over, I don't need anything more until the next season. I need a little break, and I don't need summer ball. I've covered enough summer basketball so that I'm a little. I don't need it, and I certainly don't need this other league. So that's fine.
You're
right. That's a circus. If that's a circus, then let them have it. But I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping Larry's wrong. I'm hoping that we don't see it. But I'm afraid we are going to see it at some point.
Bob, one of the big questions going into this season for the Celtics, and you know, even the biggest green teamers out there had to be honest with themselves and ask this question. You know, yes, you replace Kyrie Irving with Kemba Walker, but the same sort of fundamental problem you had last year still very much exists as far as keeping guys satisfied with enough shots and still getting the best out of guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and seeing them take the next step in their progression while still getting Gordon Hayward back and getting Kemba Walker enough shots as a number one option like he has been the last 9 years. And somehow, some way, the Celtics have found a way to do that. Now with the Hayward injury, he's going to be out 5-6 weeks. Is that going to create the same dynamic of a problem when he comes back next year, in your opinion, as far as these guys are going to get settled into their roles in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but you got a guy now that was putting up 20 points a game through the first 8 games of the season. Could they have a little bit of a hiccup trying to find a way to get Gordon Hayward sort of back into his flow that he was in the first 8 games?
Theoretically, yes, but I'm going to count on the maturity level that the last lessons have been learned from last year. Certainly, Tatum is back closer to the player he was at the end of the season before than the disappointing player he was last year. He's altered his game. I think he's got a better approach. Brown is playing great. Brown actually had figured it out last year, the second half of the year, more than Tatum did, and he was fine. So I think that they're going to be reminded if they, you know, Brad's going to remind them, and I think smart guys are going to remind them. Look how nicely it was working until that awful night when Hayward got hurt again. I think they're going to be able to remember that. So I'm not positive. I think it's a very reasonable point you raise. So I'm going to be optimistic about it and think that they're going to be mature enough to handle and go back to where they were before Hayward had that unfortunate collision with Aldridge. But the roles are going to be altered in the next 6 weeks, and there's going to be pressure. Jason Tatum better average 20 points a game over the next 6 weeks, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's going to be important for him to do that and for Jaylen Brown to be as consistent as he's been, and everybody really to continue doing really what they've done through the first 10 games of the season. And, Bob, you know, one of the real contradictions of this team is, on one hand, they're on a trajectory to win 55, 60 games and finish as a top 2 or 3 seed in the East, but going back and really looking at teams that are so heavily reliant on rookies and on young players, those teams typically don't succeed in the postseason. Whereas you get the Celtics team where, you know, the starting lineup is fine. It's deep enough. It's got enough tools, enough great players. But the moment they go to the bench, you've got rookies playing impactful minutes night in and night out. Can those types of guys have success in the NBA playoffs?
Well, that's a good point, but there's some rookies are less rookie-ish than others, you know. And I think isn't the calling card of Grant Williams that he's a precocious young man. Edwards has been certainly has not come close to that incredible threes he made in the exhibition game, but I'm confident he's going to be. But there's two other guys that aren't kids. They've been around. These other two guys who know how to order in six languages. Those two guys, Green and Wanamaker, have been an asset. And they're young veterans, if you will, even though they're in their mid-20s. Because the composition of the league is different. The rookies are, you got Marcus Smart's a graybeard on this team. Was he 23?
25. Yeah, he's still so young.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's different. But I think that's a valid point. Experience, generally, in the playoffs comes through. And guess what? I'm not greedy. I don't expect this team to win. That would be one of the great – this would be one of the – I would go so far as to say that if this team were to win, if it were ever to win, it would be the second most amazing South championship ever after the 69 team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't expect them to win. I expect them to have a good season and maybe they'll go at least a round deeper than they did last year. But, Jesus, I hope people don't get too carried away and start thinking on those terms.
Well, I don't think they do, but it's interesting that you just sort of suggested that if they could win and put themselves in that conversation. It's funny because going into the season, my expectations as a fan were relatively low. If they could win 50 games, go a couple of rounds, but fix the culture, get the fans back. They lost 24% of their ratings last year. As far as television games go, get those fans back and really sort of just put last year in the deepest part of our memory and get back on track as far as liking the Celtics again, making them enjoyable again, making basketball fun in Boston again. As a fan, I would have been satisfied. And my worry here is that through 10 games, they've been so good. And they've beaten some pretty good teams, Bob. It's not just, mopping up against the Cavaliers and the Knicks. You tend to get carried away a little bit. But you just brought up championship. I mean, have they thrust themselves at least into that upper echelon where if you bring up an NBA final, you're not laughed out of the room?
Well, power rating. One of the power ratings had them number one in the league the other day. I went, oh really? But on merit so far, on achievement, what they've accomplished, that you'd have to put them in the elite. But I'm still not ready to go that far. Let's have this conversation in 2 weeks. Let's get this road trip out of the way. This 5-game trip.
Yep.
And let's see how that went. How they react to that. This is a new. You talk about kids and youth and all that. So let's see how this goes. I don't want to get too far ahead of the game. I'm enjoying them, but your premise about everything you said about restoring the public approval and of confidence and making them enjoyable, they're on their way to doing that. They're doing that, and that's exactly what they're doing. I think we're both kind of in agreement. I think that it's foolish, really foolish, to start talking about a championship. I don't care if they're the number one power ranking and somebody's on that right now. We got a long way to go, we know that the biggest concern to me is when you do get to the playoffs, they'll get to the playoffs, but when you do get to the big games, about that lack of robust fellow in the middle, I wish Baines were back. I don't begrudge Al Horford anything. I'll never say a bad word about him. I'm happy he's got a good contract in Philly. That's fine. But damn it, I would love to be able to keep Baines. And look what he's doing, by the way, in Phoenix. And that would have been, then I'd really feel good about this team if they had Baines. But they don't, and they're going to have to make do. Now, I'll say this, very different kind of body type and all that and presence, but Robert Williams has made some contributions to this team. And if he continues to improve it to the same rate that he's already improved, he could be a really important factor in this team.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Williams, Daniel Tice. I mean, Daniel Tice, through the first 10 games, with the exception of it being injured with the injured finger for a couple of games, he's been outstanding as well.
He's playing much better, playing the way he did 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see if it lasts between these guys throughout the remainder of the season. And real quick before we get you out of here, Bob, the other big guy that's not really on the roster, he's on a two-way deal, this phenomenon that is Taco Fall. I want to get into the unique thing that NBC Sports Boston is doing with him, but through his first two games in Maine, and again, it's Maine, so you don't get too excited. He had 13 points and 12 rebounds in game one, and tonight, Maine, he goes out there, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 6 block shots. He had an impact in the few minutes that he played here at an NBA level. But let me ask you this, Bob, without getting sort of too out of control here with the optimism around Taco Fall, how does a 7'6" prospect go undrafted through two rounds of the NBA draft and still be a guy where fans can't get enough of him? How is that even possible?
It's possible because the concept of the league, how to play the game, used to be inside out, and now it's out and outer out, you know. And they've devalued the role of those guys, except at the defensive end, where they still want the so-called rim protectors, which surprises me, given that he certainly could do that. It's going to be very interesting to see how he progresses. We have to ask – I want to throw one more thing in before we leave. We have an X-factor player on this team, and that is Cantor. And Cantor, we all know the pluses and minuses. But the fact is, those pluses could be very important. He's a walking double-double whenever he gets any kind of minutes. That's what his history has been. He's a deficient defensive player. Maybe he'll improve with this coaching and this, I don't know. But he hasn't been, obviously, any kind of part of the mix since the opening night. He got a cameo last game, but two games. But then actually, the other night, he did better, second game back. He could be a factor. So, don't forget him. But Taco is a phenomenon. You know, the part of the package with Taco is that in addition to the 7'6"-ness, he's a charming, engaging, intelligent young man.
Sure.
Who is charismatic personality. And talk about a marketable commodity. Oh, my God. I'm sure that the marketing people are drooling about the possibilities with Taco Fall.
I mean, the Celtics this year, they've gone as far as to pick up on NBC Sports Boston. they're picking up 24 main Red Claws. Every one of their home games is going to be broadcast on NBC Sports Boston. And for a G League team, Bob, I've never heard of such a thing.
No, certainly not around here.
No.
It's all because of him. Look at the phenomenon he was in the Summer League. And look at the phenomenon he was when he got into the game at Madison Square Garden. Even there.
Right.
I mean, there's something about him. Absolutely. And by the way, anybody's listening, any Dookies out there, that was a charge, damn it, on Williamson in that game. All right.
Last one for me, Bob, before we get you out of here. Carmelo Anthony, 35 years old, been out of the league for a year. Signed with the Blazers. He's going to make his season debut on Tuesday. Does Carmelo have a little surprise for NBA people here? Is he going to be able to perform, or is this just going to not go well for Melo?
Well, it didn't go well in Houston, but Houston's not an easy team to play with because of you-know-who. With the beard, so I think this is a better, fairer chance for him. But I'm not a member of the fan club. I never was. I think he's a stat compiler. I don't think he's a winner. And except the best contributions he ever made was winning the Olympic team when they used him the way it was the perfect way, which is throw him off the bench and he makes four jump shots in a row. He sits down and they got the lead back against Spain. And I think that's what he could be doing. And he resisted the idea of coming off the bench, but he has no leverage now to complain about any way that he's being used. It could happen. I'm not sure. I don't know what he's got left. I'll be a little surprised. I don't think he's got I doubt that he's got too much left.
And Bob, I know he said there was going to be the last one, but you intrigued me for a minute. You brought up the Olympic team and the Celtics off to this 9-1 start. Is it a coincidence, or do you think that the fact that four key players in the Celtics played for Team USA, does that play a small part in this team's chemistry early on?
I think it helped them, even though they didn't do well, even though they were a huge disappointment. And as a team, I think that experience of that exposure and exposure to Pop and helped these guys for sure. And because Smart got hurt and Tatum got hurt at one point, and it didn't work out the way it could have. And maybe if they weren't hurt, the team might have done better. But I think the experience, I think everyone agrees that they had any knowledge about the situation, that this was very beneficial for them. So yes, I think it was a positive experience.
All right, you guys can find Bob Ryan on the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast. It's available on iTunes and, of course, on clnsmedia.com. And, Bob, thank you for staying up late with us here tonight. And you said we'll check back in a couple of weeks, and I promise you we'll do that. We'll see how this 5-game road trip goes for the Celtics.
Okay, terrific. So long now.
All right, there he goes. Bob Ryan, he is simply the best. He's been covering this team for 50 years. And again, every time I find myself as a fan, as an NBA guy, sort of, letting the fan get ahead of me and letting the fan get the best of me with this 9-1 start, the fact that they're playing in Golden State tonight, but it's not really the Warriors that we all used to know and love. This is a very different Golden State team. There's some very winnable games on this West Coast road trip, and you start to let your imagination get the best of you, right? And the hopes and dreams for the Celtics team start to really invade your basketball know-how and knowledge. And you find yourself thinking, oh my gosh, this team could come out of this road trip, 4-1, 3-2. And I had to get somebody in here with me tonight that was going to slap me around a little bit, get me back down to earth, and make me realize that, yes, it is an 82-game schedule. It's been a terrific start for the Celtics. But 9-1 right now is not going to mean anything come February, March, April, hopefully May, and hopefully June. So once again, thank you to Bob Ryan. And you guys can check out Bob's latest work on clnsmedia.com, on iTunes. It's the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman NBA podcast. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Now that Bob's out of the way, we'll take your phone calls when we come back, talking about the Celtics for the first hour here of the program. Celtics on the road tonight, about to get underway in Golden State. 9-1, best record in the NBA. So 10 games in. Have we allowed ourselves to start to believe that this team is for real, that this team is actually a contender, and that this type of play, this type of play is sustainable for a full 82-game schedule? Want to get into that with you guys when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You are locked into Late Night with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, when you talk about changes and the difference between when you played and how the game is played now, it may have seemed silly back in the 80s and early 90s, but the idea that the NBA would actually add a four-point line, like forget about pushing the three-point line back, maybe you keep the three-point line, add a four-point line. I heard Adam Silver say that a couple weeks ago. Would you be a fan of that?
Well, it's definitely a major change, but you can remember 10 or 15 years ago, they moved the three-point line up, and eventually they got smart about it, moved it back. But a four-point line really wouldn't make that much difference. I think that the problem with that, there'd be guys shooting in, and there'd be a lot of air balls and a lot more fast breaks, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, the league's always looking at ways to speed the game up and score more points, and if they did it, I wouldn't be surprised, but I like the game where it is now, and I think it's doing fine.
There's Larry Bird. He was on with OMF on Wednesday as part of Christian Fourier's 25 for 25 event, which was wildly successful, by the way. And if you guys happen to miss my couple of hours hosting, I don't blame you. It was between 2 and 4 a.m. where they put the real talent. But we had fun that night, and we raised a lot of money, and Christian did an outstanding job. But I love that question from Christian Fourier to Larry Bird, because in his day, and I know the numbers don't stack up, they don't compare to today's NBA because the game has completely changed. But in his day, there was nobody you would rather have taking a three to win the game than Larry Bird, right? And that three-point line, he was a prolific three-point shooter. And some of the most memorable sort of NBA images that we have burned in our brain are of Larry Bird hitting crucial jumpers, crucial threes. Of course, the three-point contest where he kept the finger up and kept the jacket on. I mean, that's who Larry Bird was. So those memories don't exist. Those great moments don't exist without a three-point line. And once upon a time, there was a world of basketball fans that couldn't imagine a world with a three-point line. And the three-point line changed everything. The question really becomes, can a four-point line do for the NBA what the three-point line did? And I know that there's a certain group of fans out there that really believe that this is the right thing to do. But if you heard me talking to Bob Ryan a little while ago and we brought it up, I think Bob and I were both pretty much in agreement here where Larry's being very pragmatic. Larry is telling you like it is. And I feel like the NBA is in a very good place right now. The NBA is thriving right now, not just here in the United States, but it's thriving globally right now. Unfortunately, you know, it is thriving with the youngest generation. And for the league, while that's good, they'll take all the fans they can get. The youngest generation is not the generation that currently pays the bills. And here's where I start to feel like I sound like the old man in the room, And I hate that. I really, really do. But I like the 4-point line as part of the big three. I watch the big three in the summer. I'm a basketball junkie. So if you mean to tell me that I can turn on the TV and I can watch Big Baby, I can watch Brian Scalabrine, Rashard Lewis, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, possibly Paul Pierce next year, he's talking about joining. I am going to watch those guys play 3-on-3. I find it fun. And if you miss basketball in the summer, it gives you an outlet to watch players that you recognize, players that you know, do things that they do very, very well. And because it's only in the half court, actually, they can still do pretty spectacular things because they're not running up and down the floor. That's when older players really show their age. So in that setting, having a 4-point line completely works. It does. It's added a special element to the game. It's added a different dynamic to the game. But in the NBA, I don't think that there's any basketball mind out there that could potentially convince me that a 4-point line is something that not only is good for the game, but something that's even viable. And I never thought that I would disagree with Larry Bird. I mean, I worship the ground that guy walks on. But when I heard Larry say that he feels like it's inevitable, I could not believe my ears. Realistically, if you add a 4-point line right now, and to his point, it's going to open up more transition, more fast breaks, and I completely understand that. But the reason why it's going to open up more transition, more fast breaks, is because there's going to be a lot more missed shots. Basketball is going to get uglier instead of prettier. It's going to get more selfish instead of more team-oriented. And guys are going to play more hero ball instead of less hero ball, because now you're going to have not one, but two selfish opportunities to take a bad shot. And for me, that's something that you've got to guard against if you're Adam Silver, if you're running the NBA, if you're voting on this as a player, as a player's rep, as an owner, as the union. You really cannot put yourself in that position to even have this potential talk of a 4-point line even come into existence. You have to take that talk and keep it away. You really do. And the way that these things work, now that the G League has really become the official developmental league of the NBA, and it's not going away. You know, the NBA had plenty of other developmental leagues over the years. They came and they went. You had the CBA and many others. They came and they went. They never were able to sustain themselves. But because the G League is financed by the NBA, the G League is not going anywhere. And the G League, much like AAA baseball, is going to be where they try this out. So you're going to have G League players, players that weren't talented enough, weren't good enough to make the NBA, out there experimenting with the 4-point line. And the trickle-down effect is going to continue to destroy the fundamentals of the game of basketball, and I cannot stand it. And again, you know, Larry, he wasn't a proponent of it. If you listen to his comments, he wasn't a proponent. He wasn't talking about it in a manner and fashion where he's advocating for it, but because he's a realist, because he knows the game, and because he knows the way that the NBA operates, at least financially, he knows that this is a temptation that the league is not going to be able to stay away from. But if you're the league, what do you do here? Because I know the temptation here. I know why. I know the motivation. I'm not stupid. When Aaron Baines is becoming one of the most reliable three-point shooters in the NBA, you've got to do something about that. You do. I get that. But isn't there another solution to incentivize bigger players to getting back down to the post where they belong, rather than expanding and taking that 3-point line and lessening its impact, weakening its impact by adding another bad shot, another temptation, another way for these guys to not to develop into complete basketball players? I mean, really, you know, the league, Steph Curry was an absolute phenomenon, right? We all enjoy watching Steph. It's a shame that he's hurt right now. And I bring him up because the Celtics are in Golden State. And it sucks to watch a Golden State game and not to watch the gift that has been Steph Curry, because his release is just so quick. It's so beautiful. And every single time he shoots the ball, you think it's going in. But that doesn't mean that other guys should be taking threes like they're Steph Curry. But that's the way the league operates now, where everybody believes that they're a shooter. And I feel like I'm the old man in the bar, the old man in the room. But again, listening to Larry Bird, who was the one guy I thought he was going to say, absolutely not. The game has a 3-point line. That is enough. There's no need for a 4-point line. But when Larry said, yes, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, I almost spit my coffee out of my mouth. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It's going to happen, and it's going to have, I think, a very negative impact on the NBA today. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys here tonight, 617-779-7937. Opening the show tonight, talking hoops, talking basketball. Eventually in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get into some football stuff. A big week in the NFL, a big weekend for the Patriots on and off the field. We'll get into both of those things coming up after 11 o'clock. Until then, let's get to some of your phone calls. Let's go to Jim. Jim's in Wakefield. Jim, you're first up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick, how are you tonight?
Good, Jim. What's on your mind, man?
Well, you know what? I'm listening to you on this four-point line. I have not heard about this yet. And I got to say, I don't like it. Not at all. I'm. You know what? Right now, the game is perfect the way it is. But if they're going to add a four-point line, it should be half court. That's it. If you make a shot beyond half court, it's a four-pointer. I can understand that, but other than that, you don't need to change it. I don't want to see a four-point line like 3 feet beyond the three-point line or whatever. It's like if you're making a Hail Mary at the end of the game to extend the game and you hit a half-point shot that's going to, you know, all of a sudden change the course of the game, well, that will make it more interesting. But I still don't like it. I'm myself right now, I'm a proponent of the way the game is. I can remember when they added the three-point shot. I remember when Chris Ford hit the first three-point shot.
Right, but back in 79. And that there were a lot of people didn't like it then. And now, but if you look at an NBA basketball court or a basketball court in general that was made pre-1979, it's almost unrecognizable without the three-point line on there. It's become such a part of the fabric of the game, Jim, but I just don't feel like the four-point line will ever be anything more than like a carnival trick. It'll never have the same type of meaning that the three-point line had.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I don't want to see it, and if they were going to do it, it would have to be something that would be so far that they're not going to try to take it on a regular basis. Make it a half-point shot that the only way that it would work would be at the end of the game when people are trying to win a game and they have to throw up a shot beyond half court.
Yeah.
To me, it's the only way it's going to work. But
that's good stuff. It's great stuff. I mean, I like that idea where if they're going to do it, if as Larry said, and let's use Larry Bird's word, right? Larry called it inevitable. So if it really is inevitable and it's something that you have to do to appease the powers that be, then sure, maybe you limit it to the last 2 minutes of a quarter, last 2 minutes of a half, last 30 seconds of a quarter, last 30 seconds of a half. And if you're down by three and you happen to hit a half court shot to win the game, God bless you. You know, if you're down by three and you throw it up as a Hail Mary from the other free throw line and it goes in, God bless you. Because at least if you do that, what you're doing is you're de-incentivizing teams to running plays for that shot, right? If it's beyond half court, you're not running plays to take that shot. If it's beyond half court, it's not something that even the most prolific three-point shooters in the NBA are going to take on a regular basis. Because, again, the league is thriving right now. The league is in a great place, not just here in the U.S., but globally. And as somebody that, you know, in my daily life, I'm a director of sales, right? So not only do I handle my own sales, I've got a sales team that I deal with. And one of the biggest rookie mistakes that salesmen make, and it happens all over in business, is you take an account that's thriving and you call on that account and you mess with that account because that account is likely to say yes. That account is likely to be welcoming to your ideas because they're doing well with you. When really, in reality, when something is thriving, you leave it alone. You call, you check in, you say hello. That's it. You buy him a meal. But you don't mess with everything that's in motion that is working. And right now, what the NBA, the product they're putting on the court, it is working. So why this would even be a figment of anybody's imagination right now is beyond me. But the fact is, it is in Adam Silver's imagination. And I promise you this, no matter how I feel about it, no matter how you feel about it, within 2 years of this broadcast, which is not a long time, there will be a four-point shot of some sort in the D-League, meaning if you're a fan of the Maine Red Claws, the D-League affiliate of the Boston Celtics, you go up to Maine, check out a great basketball game, watch Taco Fall on the cheap, go up there and dominate like he did tonight, and probably watch players that have no business taking threes starting to take fours. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, mix in some more Celtics talk here. Get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Then coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, of course, we'll continue with some of the NBA stuff, but work our way in to Colin Kaepernick and his workout, the Patriots with a big game against the Eagles, and how the Kaepernick workout kind of matters to the Patriots. We'll get into all that and more with you guys at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's late night. Patrick Gilroy here with you. Talking about the NBA and the four-point line, Larry Bird, he was on with OMF a couple of days ago as part of Christian Fourier's 25 for 25 event. And, you know, Larry talked about the four-point line, said that it's inevitable. And quite frankly, the way the Celtics are playing right now, a couple of four-pointers would do them some good. Down by 13 with about 4 minutes to go in the first quarter in Golden State. But, you know, as much as I joke and I kid, I'm just so afraid that the four-point line is going to be a temptation that young players, you know, out there playing grammar school, high school, collegiate basketball, the future of the NBA, really, they're going to fall in love with another bad shot. And it's bad enough right now watching 6'3", 6'5", centers in high school try to stretch out and become consistent three-point shooters. It's changing the game completely. Now, even my 8-year-old, who I coach, is guilty of it. The kid is so small that he has a hard time, you know, hitting a free throw. It takes all his might to hit a free throw. But he desperately wants to hit threes, and he wants to do it because that is what's important in the NBA today. It's what's emphasized in the game today. And instead of it being a tool in a player's tool belt, it has become the primary tool in their arsenal. And I'm afraid that if you look at the way that the three-point line has evolved over the last 40 years, and you look at the NBA as a big-picture operation, and you look at it and you think about 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now, if these players start taking regular shots any deeper than they currently are, it is going to change the fabric of the league, the fabric of the game, and basketball as we know it will change forever. And I don't want to see that happen to a game that I happen to love. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob's in Somerville. Jacob, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick, appreciate you giving me a chance to get on and talk about the three-point line. This is I don't know where this topic came from with Larry Bird, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so Adam Silver brought it up. He was asked about it over the summer, right? So the league always gets together. They've got a rules committee, Jacob, and it was proposed as part of something to talk about the next time they have a collective bargaining sort of session here. And Adam Silver said it's something that they're seriously considering implementing at some point in the next couple of years.
Thing was really interesting in my thought, because you're totally right. Young kids, they can't be shooting those deep shots. But the NBA, you see guys like Steph Curry, Trae Young, they're hitting shots 3 or 4 feet behind the three-point line already.
Yep.
So for that game in the NBA, to your point, if the Celtics at the end of the game can come back by hitting 2 or 3 of those, I think it's a big point for the NBA. Guys are going to shoot those shots no matter what. And then to your point, in the youth basketball, they need to keep it where it's at a normal high school three-point line, which is different from the current NBA three-point line.
Yeah, it's a little bit closer in than the current NBA three-point line. It's not a bad idea, Jacob, where you leave youth basketball maybe all the way through high school alone, and you let colleges decide, NCAA decide what they're going to do. But the NBA, you know, really, you put them on their own plane. And maybe that's part of being a professional basketball player, right? Maybe that's one of the differences. If you make it to play professional basketball, it allows you the opportunity to take a four-point shot, where in high school, in youth basketball, it's not even something that you think about.
It will make the NBA game more fun, because you already see teams go on, you know, come back from 18 down, 20 down, and make a comeback, right? So in the NBA game, where, let's be honest, they're putting advertisements on jerseys, it's about making money and being an entertainment factor for where we're going in our future in entertainment and multimedia. The NBA does better on social media than any other league in professional sports. It would be a cool thing to see. I mean, as a you know, late 20s, that would be pretty cool to see in 5, maybe 10 years, I think, really, to see a four-point shot be a realistic, you know, thing.
Awesome. I appreciate the phone call and sort of the different perspective there, Jacob. And again, that's the thing, right? And how did I start this conversation? I said, I feel like the old guy at the bar, the old guy in the room. I'm going to be 40 years old in a couple of months. And I feel like right now I sound like an old man, where I'm thinking, I don't want the league to change. I like the way it is right now. I'm envisioning, and again, I'm going to date myself here, but the old Rock and Jock basketball games on MTV. Going back to the early to mid 90s, right? And they had a 3-point line, a 4-point line, a 10-point line. Yeah, even in the Big Three League, the summer league that Ice Cube started a couple of years ago, they've got special sort of stars out there on the floor. And if you hit a shot from one of those stars, they're very deep, but it's worth 4 points. And that's become a thing in half court basketball. It's the NBA, to me, it's a very different game. And you know, while you've got, you know, the caller mentioned Steph Curry, Trae Young, you've got some elite shooters. I mean, remember how deep some of the shots IT took when he was here. Even, you know, God bless him, Kyrie Irving. His range knows no limits. You've got players that are more than capable and more than confident enough in their ability to say, you know, take that 3-point line and stretch it back by 3, 4, even 5 feet, and they're still capable shooters from that distance, right? They are. But those guys are still few and far between. We see a lot of them because those are the guys that get highlighted on SportsCenter. Those are the guys that get highlighted on Twitter. Those are the guys that get highlighted in these NBA highlight packages that get sort of put online so well by the league, that markets their players so well. But just as pretty as watching Trae Young or Steph Curry hit one of those potential 4-pointers may be, do you really want to see Daniel Tice and Aaron Baines wind it up for 4? Because they're going to, if that's a thing. You want to see Al Horford, who was a very capable 3-point shooter, you want to see him with that funky release stretch it back even further for a 4-pointer? I don't want to see that happen in the league. I don't want to see that sort of poison invade the NBA. I don't. I get the temptation. I really do. You know, if a team's down by 8 with 30 seconds to go, that's a tough thing to come back from. It really is. But if a team is down by 6 with 30 seconds to go, the NBA wants to keep those fans around. And there's a realistic chance to come back and tie that game. Down 6, 30 seconds to go, hit a quick 3 in a 2-for-1 opportunity, get the defensive stop, and what do you have? You've got 2-3 seconds left to put up a decent play and hit another 3 and potentially tie the game, send it to overtime. Right? That's what the NBA wants you to believe. Even though it very rarely happens, because it's possible, people stick around. They don't leave their TV set. That's important to the NBA. So I can understand if a team is down by 8 with 30 seconds to go, the same sort of thing can apply. Hit a 4, get a stop, come back, hit another 4. What do you have? You have a tie basketball game. You keep those fans around a little bit longer. It's very similar to sort of what Major League Baseball did by adding that additional wild card, right? The play-in game. You got teams that had no business being in a playoff conversation. You have teams with no business of being any sort of a race, but now with the advent of the one-game play-in, that fan base has a reason to stick around for another couple of weeks, couple of months, and pay attention to Major League Baseball, whereas before, if they were out of the conversation, what would they do? They would abandon ship. They would get away because their team had no chance, no potential, no playoff hopes. It's the same exact philosophy, so I understand the temptation. I just don't agree with it. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, it's Late Night, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, if you know, I have any leftover thoughts on this conversation, by all means, we'll continue to sort of bring this stuff up, talk about it. Celtics right now down by 12, 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. I'll continue to keep you guys updated on the happenings in Golden State. But I do want to get into this Colin Kaepernick thing, this workout with the NFL. I've heard all kinds of takes on it. I've heard people saying that it's a favor that the NFL is giving to Jay-Z because Jay-Z is a big influencer with the NFL, a big financial component to it there. I've heard people rail and complain that this thing should have been on a Tuesday. It should have been 6 weeks ago, not during week 11. I get it all. I completely understand everybody's complaints. But the fact is this, last I checked, there's going to be 24 teams there watching this guy work out. And if he goes out there and he puts on a good show, I think Colin Kaepernick's going to get a job. And I think the right place for him to get employed is right here in New England. And we'll talk about that. I'll give you all the reasons why when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.